Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. Woolworths is a great place to start this week, and the business has been experiencing a resurgence, particularly in fashion beauty home under new CEO Roy Bagattini. In fact, the last of the Ian Moyer legacy, aka mess, has been cleaned up with the disposal of David Jones in Australia that was concluded in March 2023. This means that the results for the 52 weeks to the 25th of June need to be split into continued and discontinued operations. The continued operations exclude David Jones and saw turnover increase 10.8% for the year. The second half of the year was strong despite load shedding, with 9.2% growth thanks primarily to Woolies Food. The food business managed 8.5% growth for the year and accelerated in the second half despite load shedding, very impressive. But price inflation was ahead of like-for-like growth, which suggests a drop in volumes by around 2% as South Africans cut back. Fashion Beauty Home slowed down in the second half as load shedding really hit, but still grew 6.7% in that half versus 8.9% for the full year. Volumes fell by roughly 3.3% in that part of the business. In Australia and New Zealand, where they do have electricity and at least part of that region has pretty good rugby teams, Country Road grew sales by 12%. The second half was incredibly slow though, up just 0.6%. It's always fun comparing the contribution of online sales. In South Africa, 3.8% of food and 4.3% of fashion beauty home sales were online. But in Country Road, where online is far more established, it was 27.1% of total sales. For the year, headline earnings per share from continuing operations will be up by between 10% and 20%. The midpoint of the adjusted headline earnings per share range suggests a price earnings or PE multiple of just under 19x. The market didn't react much to this announcement at all, so the growth seems to be within expectations. We now have to deal with Shoprite, which has absolutely knocked it out the park with 16.9% sales growth in the 52 weeks to July. Growth in the second half of the year, a period in which arch rival Pick n Pay has done horribly, was a super impressive 17%. Supermarkets RSA stole the show, 18.2% growth. But more importantly, those numbers are being achieved across the LSM curve. Checkers and Checkers Hyper grew 18%. Shoprite and Usave, 15.6%. So that is resonance with every income group. But before we get too excited, there was no headline earnings per share or HEPS guidance in these numbers. What we do know is that gross margin has dropped and there were very significant diesel costs in this period. So the jury is out on what the net profit picture will be. But Eskom aside, Shoprite Group is killing it when it comes to winning market share. Liberty 2 Degrees is going private, with great returns for recent investors and horrible outcomes for anyone who invested at the height of the property bubble on the JSE when this thing listed. I always warn investors against new listings and anything that has attracted a fair share of hype. It's always the same story in the end. And property was crazy in the 2015 to 2016 period on the JSE. Today, property funds can barely raise any money at all and most of them are trading at fat discounts to net asset value. Liberty 2 Degrees has lost nearly half its value since the original listing, and that is after it jumped to R5.55 per share in response to Liberty putting an offer on the table at that price. It was trading at R3.90 before that, a very large discount to net asset value at the end of December 2022 of R7.51. Now the point here is that a solid property portfolio, and there's some really good stuff in here, trading at a big discount to NAV or net asset value is basically a sitting duck for a take private. But only Liberty would have been able to pull the trigger here, as the company already owns 61% of the listed shares in Liberty 2 Degrees and two-thirds of the underlying portfolio. Outside investors effectively came into the fold when it listed during that property bubble and they are now being taken out at a huge discount. The winner here, obviously, is Liberty itself, which is now a wholly owned subsidiary of Standard Bank. Spur is buying a 60% stake in the Doppio Zero chain. This is such a great success story for a homegrown business, with Doppio Zero having been started in 2002 as just a bakery and cafe in Greenside. Today, it generates annual revenue of over 600 million rand and has attracted Spur as a suitor. The purchase price hasn't been disclosed as the deal is too small for forced disclosure, unfortunately. But what we do know is that Doppio Zero management will stick around for 5 years to help Spur integrate the group. This will almost double the size of Spur's speciality portfolio. People sure do love their biscuits, even in a time of inflationary pressures. We've seen it overseas with PepsiCo, and now we've seen it in AVI, where the Snackworks segment was the fastest growing part of the group in the year ended June. Revenue grew 11.9% in the Snackworks division, versus 7.8% for AVI as a whole, and the AVI number includes I&J that managed only 0.5% growth as the laggard in the group. Now, we know from grocery retailer announcements that volumes have been under pressure, so AVI's growth has all been from pricing increases. Pricing power is critical in this environment, but despite pushing through pricing increases, operating profit could only grow 6.9%, which is less than revenue growth of 7.8%. So pressure on profit margin was unavoidable here, despite gross profit margin actually increasing. With more shares in issue than before because of incentive schemes, headline earnings per share is only up by between 3% and 5%. Thank goodness for the biscuits. British American Tobacco is a rand hedge, dividend payer, and generally a defensive stock if you ask most South African investors. I am quite bearish on this thing over the next 5 years though, as I don't know too many people who smoke anymore, and the so-called new categories aren't even profitable yet, despite contributing 16.6% of group revenue and helping the company feature highly in ESG indices, which tells you pretty much everything you need to know about ESG. Let's not forget, this is a cigarettes company. In the 6 months to June, the company managed revenue growth of just 2.6% in constant currency, and adjusted profit grew 3.6% on the same basis. Net debt that decreased by 2.3%. It's very much about minor incremental improvements to the numbers, with most investors just focused on cash conversion, because that ultimately is how they get their dividends. If you need a reminder of how quickly a mining sector can turn, then a 55% drop in headline earnings per share at Anglo American should do the trick. The commodity basket price fell by 19% and unit costs were up by 1%, so profits were squeezed in the middle. For the 6 months to June, free cash flow swung wildly from positive $1.56 billion in the comparable period to minus $466 million in this period. Mining is all about capital allocation and managing the cycles, with massive capex from time to time as well. The share price is up around 90% over 5 years, a similar performance to rival Glencore, and well ahead of South 32, with an increase of under 40%. Finally, if you think the Anglo number is scary, try ArcelorMittal on for size. With a combination of single commodity exposure in the steel industry, high operating leverage from fixed costs, plus loads of financial leverage, aka debt. When things go badly here, they go really badly. In the 6 months to June, there was a headline loss of 448 million rand. And with cash from operations of 891 million rand versus a capex bill of 818 million rand, there was hardly even any free cash flow, and that's before we consider how much needs to be paid to the banks. With net borrowings of 2.9 billion rand, there are big mouths to feed on the debt side of the balance sheet. And that's a wrap. Please remember that nothing you hear on the Ghost Rap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research and visit ghostmail.co.za for more insights into the market.